from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Keith McPherson on the Fan, KM to 2 a.m. We got two more hours to keep on rocking, New York. It's Saturday. It's preseason week 2. So, we're another week closer to week 1, which is also preseason 2. I always say that. That's when everybody really plays for the first time. 888-808-1019. If you'd like to talk some NFL football, college football as well, because that comes sooner than the NFL. Call me up with your takes, your thoughts, your narratives, your questions. Daniel Jones is the week 1 starter for the Giants. Duh. I don't care if there's a Lou Gehrig debate over Tommy Cutlets and Daniel Jones. The Giants are going to play Daniel Jones because they paid Daniel Jones. They low-key are done with the whole Tommy Cutlets thing. That's why they signed Drew Lock. They were done with it last year because it's a gimmick. You know, we did a lot of talk about gimmicks in the, you know, last 24 hours or so. You understand where I'm going with that? You don't need gimmicks. You need results. You need guys to go out there and play. And Daniel Jones is going to go out there and play. Speaking of Drew Lock, right? Drew Lock got hurt in that first preseason game. So you just need another body. You need another guy. Daniel Jones, though, I don't think he needs to be worried about anything. I don't think he needs to be shook anything. He's a football player. Obviously, he's coming back from the ACL injury. I'm rooting for the guy. I've been rooting for the guy. I was rooting for the guy last year. He had the neck injury, my neck, my back, my neck and my back. He's had an ankle. Now he's got the knee. He's had every obstacle thrown in front of him. Oh, be the next Eli Manning. Oh, have a new offensive coordinator, new head coach, new this, new that, and the other. See, and I just had one of my Yankee fans drop off. Just because I'm talking football now doesn't mean we can't still talk about the New York Yankees, the New York Mets. You always can. But I'm introducing some football into the second half of the show now that it's Saturday and we have some games. 1 p.m., the Giants will take on the Houston Texans. Daniel Jones will be on the field. And you know what? As I did all this Fanatics Fest hype, I did not hear this at Fanatics Fest. And I'm glad I didn't hear it because it's whack and it's weak coming from a guy that is the GOAT, coming from a guy that just doesn't need to go low and go against a guy that didn't defeat him in the Super Bowl. Tom Brady, he's forever scarred by the New York Giants. Tom Brady, he can't even be in New York without thinking about Eli Manning. So Tom Brady had the audacity to go to the Javits Center today in front of a bunch of Giants fans. The Giants fans were more represented than the Jets fans out there. Jets fans, you should pull up and wear your green jerseys tomorrow, today. But the quote was, as Brady is talking about, you know, coming into calling games this year, he drew a hypothetical situation where he said, let's say Daniel Jones throws an interception. That before he could finish that sentence, people were like, hey, oh, whoa, 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 boo. And then, you know, Brady tried to walk it back. And he said, I didn't mean to say it like that. I wasn't even being critical of Daniel Jones. Maybe I was a little. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to foreshadow? Why is everybody always taking shots at Daniel Jones? I'm rooting for you, Daniel Jones. You got weapons now. You got an offensive line now. You can't rely on Saquon now. Go out there and be the guy. Drop back, read the defense, deliver the pill. 888-808-1019. Let's see what other games are going to be on. The Falcons. I'm very high on the Falcons. We'll see what happens with Judon. but I like the move. Justin Simmons, I like the move. Michael Penix Jr., I like the move. I'm going to Atlanta next week. This time next week, I won't be on the fan. I'll be in the A. And hopefully, going to the fan cave reunion, we put the babies to sleep. We keep the women and children back at the Airbnb. And you could figure out what me and the boys might be doing down in ATL. Anyway, the Falcons will face the Ravens at 12 p.m. The Bengals will face the Bears at 1 on NFL Network. Following that, you'll get the Lions and the Chiefs. Did I see somewhere Patrick Mahomes is going to play? If Mahomes is playing, then everybody could play, right? Number one guy in the league, best quarterback in the league. We're talking about Brady's the GOAT. He's trying to chase him down. I saw somewhere they were thinking about Mahomes might play. Anywho, 888-808-1019. Preseason week 2 is upon us. The Jets will play later tonight at 7 p.m. against the Panthers, who they've been practicing with all week. Looking forward to seeing more preseason games, because the more preseason games we get out of the way, the closer we get to real games. And now there's rumors of Brandon Ayuk getting closer to a deal with the 49ers. So that was a hold-in standoff. Steelers never materialized. And, oh, let me guess. A, B, C, D, T, D, Lamb. They offered CeeDee Lamb slightly under $33 million a year. I can't stand Jerry Jones. I can't stand Jerry Jones, bro. Like, just run him his money. What are you doing? What are you thinking? When CeeDee Lamb got drafted by the Dallas Cowboys, he fell into their lap. They were fortunate to get him. And that's always what happens with the Dallas Cowboys. They luck into draft picks. But CeeDee wanted to wear number 10. And I wanted that 10 jersey. I'm like, that 10 jersey is going to be hard. I remember Ryan Switzer wore 10. I'm like, CeeDee's going to wear 10. That's going to be hard. And you know what Jerry Jones made him do? Wear number 88. That's not swag. I mean, he made it look swaggy. But he's a skinny guy. He wore number 2 at Oklahoma. He wanted to wear 10 in the league. Jerry Jones made him wear 88. Drew Pearson, Michael Irvin, Dez Bryant, the 88 club with CeeDee Lamb. Run him his money. Pay that man. Pay that man. Lorenzo is in the Bronx. What's up, Lorenzo? You're on the fan. Lorenzo. Hello.
Oh, Keith, sorry, man. I was on mute. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I was just been listening to you for a while, and I know, and I'm correct me if I'm wrong, you are a Cowboy fan, right?
Yeah, guilty as charged. Yeah, I mean, I'm really I'm identifying as just a football fan these days.
All right. I mean, I don't blame you, but I just wanted to know, it's very interesting being a New York radio host, being a Cowboy fan. I'm just interested, like, how did that start? How did that come about?
I mean, well, originally, they were like, yo, we think you're good. We're not going to hold that against you. Like, I was definitely told in the beginning, like, maybe you could tone it down. And I'm like, nah, I can't tone it down. It is what it is.
I mean, no, how did you become a Cowboy fan?
Oh. Being a front runner, bandwagon child, being a kid with no guidance, no father, no uncles around. My older brother was a Giants fan, and I wasn't rocking with bro like that. I wasn't, you know, there's a picture of me when I was 3 years old in a Giants jacket, and I think I've burned most of the copies, but like, they were trying to force me into that. And I could feel that, you know, even at three, I could feel like this was being bestowed upon me, and I don't know. And the first Super Bowl I remember watching, the Dallas Cowboys scored 50 points against the Bills, and I kind of started taking a liking to them. And then I watched some more Sundays, and I remember falling in love with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, Darryl Johnson, Jay Novacek. You know what I'm saying? So as a young little boy at 4 or 5 years old, America's team was everywhere. They were on TV, They were in magazines. They were in commercials. They won Super Bowls. And when it was time for me to choose, and my mom said, hey, what kind of starter jacket you want? What kind of knit cap you want? What kind of skull you want to rock? This Giants hat? This Giants jacket? No, I don't want to be like my brother. I don't want to be like the rest of these kids. I want to be like the rest of these kids that were bandwagon Dallas Cowboys fans in New Jersey. It's a regrettable decision because I saw and remember them beating Neil O'Donnell and Bam Morris in the Super Bowl when I was seven or eight. I was like a second grader. It seems like another lifetime because it was. It's a regrettable decision because the Dallas Cowboys win double digit. They have double digit wins. They win a lot of regular season games and they fool you. And then you get hurt in the playoffs, and that hurt, that pain, it just multiplies year after year. They got me good. They got me good this past year with that Packers loss. They got me good. And that's why I identify as just a football fan now.
Well, Keith, thank you. I really was curious to know, and that was definitely a valid valid explanation. And it's definitely a regrettable decision because not a lot of success, you know,
Jerry Jones made a deal with the devil. I didn't know when I was a kid. I didn't know who Jerry Jones was until I was probably a teenager.
Maybe you might be right. You might be right. He seems like that kind.
Yeah, I'm beat. Thanks for the call. I get it, man. I get it. How about them Cowboys? I get it, man. I get it. But, you know, there's a lot of Dallas Cowboys fans listening right now. There's a lot of Cowboys fans that I meet that are in New York and New Jersey, and they want me to cape for them. They want me to come in and be this New York radio host talking about, we them boys, hold up, hold up, hold up, we them boys. And I'm like, no, 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 no. Because I've been telling you for 3 years on The Fan, the Cowboys are frauds. How many times do you guys hear me say that during the season? Hey, don't believe them, don't believe them. But then I had the audacity to think that they had the softest landing spot the first round of the playoffs. With the youngest team, I think, in playoff history. I think the average age was like 24.9, like 25 years old for that Packers team. With Jordan Love, a first-year quarterback, playing in the playoffs for the first time, I'm like, yo, Dallas is 16-0 at home. No way are they losing to these guys. That game was over so fast. And I've suspended my Dallas Cowboys fandom since. Jerry Jones membership, it's on freeze right now. It's not active. Everything that I own with the Dallas Cowboys star on it is in a garbage bag in my closet. Actually, it's in my storage unit because when I moved, I'm like, won't be needing any of this. Bobby's in Rockaway, New Jersey. Bobby, you're on The Fan.
Hey, Keith. I don't want to, after you saying this, don't want to rub it in, but I'm a Packers fan, so I wanted to talk about
I know. How convenient. Who's streaming New Jersey, these calls?
I know. I don't think it's a real thing, but, you know, on Bleacher Report, they have some of these trade ideas. And they were talking about CeeDee Lamb going to the Packers and it being like Christian Watson in the first and second round pick. Now, look, I know CeeDee Lamb's great, but wouldn't that be a good return for the Cowboys, too, if that was the case? I don't know why the Packers would do it, just because they have a...
No! CeeDee Lamb was... they're telling people to take CeeDee Lamb number one in fantasy. He just had his best year. He had the best year of any Dallas Cowboys receiver. Like, I don't understand what's going on. Jerry Jones is like... it's a malpractice right now. They have a quarterback they got to pay. They have a receiver that they got to pay. They have Micah Parsons who they got to pay. They got to pay them all top of the market. You should have started knocking them off one by one because the more you wait, the higher the price goes up.
No, I agree. I mean, I just felt like that offer wouldn't be good enough for him either.
No, there but is yeah, no trade in CeeDee Lamb. They're not going to trade CeeDee Lamb. They're just going to be stuck on stupid and end up paying him.
Right. And I mean, now that you bring it up too, I mean, I do have the first pick in my fantasy draft. I was going to go McCaffrey, but man, now you got me thinking CD, but I don't know. As a Packers fan too, I mean, how do you, as an outside person, how do you feel about like everything with Jordan Love coming back? And I was upset when they got rid of Aaron Jones. I like Josh Jacobs, but it's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like they're one and the same, but I just wanted to get your take on that too. Just, I know it's not New York sports.
They're both hurt. Nah, and I talk all sports. I think I could do a national show, honestly, on New York. I mean, that's another thing too. When you go to Fanatics Fest, every fan of every team in every league is represented. That's another thing. I saw jerseys of, like there was a guy dressed in this big Orlando Magic thing. He looked like a superhero for the Orlando Magic. I'm like, I don't know. But the Packers, I think, are they have as good of a chance as anyone to challenge the Lions in that division. I don't think the Vikings are really going to be a threat. And I know they have a nice-looking roster with the Bears, but it's going to be Matt Eberflus and a rookie quarterback and whatever. Josh Jacobs has been hurt just like Jones. But you know what Jones was good for? Coming back to Texas and kicking the Cowboys' ass. He was good for that. As much time as he missed. I think that defense doesn't get enough credit. Xavier McKinney to that defense, former Giant.
Exactly, yeah. Him. I mean, you look at the defense, too. There's this kid they drafted, Javon Bullard. Bullard is going to be – I think him and McKinney will be good. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't know if I was just overconfident in them or not. I'm a Yankee fan and everything like that, so I always get into arguments with Packer fans on them not being as aggressive. But in a sense of, like, you know, I feel like they're going to be good. But, yeah, in regards to, Fanatics Fest, I'll be there Sunday, too. Covering it for one of the news outlets here. But, yeah, I hear great things, and I had FOMO not being there today.
Oh, yeah, stop by if you have a chance. I'm at the WFAN booth live on WFAN 12 to 3, and I'll be bopping around before and after. Yeah, the FOMO is real. Like, I literally left there thinking I have to go back tomorrow, and my original plan was just to go Friday and Sunday. No, I'm going home. I'm going to be tired, but I'm going because it's dope. It's so lit. Like, there's just nonstop. You just see herds of people running, and people are like, who's that? Who's that? And then you just see who it is, and it's like, where are they going? It's like being at a festival, like a music festival where, like, the crowd starts to move to a stage, and there's multiple stages in there. There's a club in there. It's ridiculous. I loved it. I'm such a sports fan, and there's so many dope things in there. And then, like, the networking aspect of it, I don't know how many people followed me. I don't know how many people I answered questions for on their YouTube channel, their TikToks. Like, I'm all about that. So I'll see you there, Bobby.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I'll see you there. And, appreciate everything you do. And, look forward to seeing you Sunday.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, the Packers and their brand, the Packers and their franchise, the way they do things. I want to go to Lambeau. That's on the bucket list. And, like, think about the Packers telling Aaron Rodgers, goodbye. We're good. We're good. Jordan Love, 3 years, he's ready to go. We're getting younger. You're old, and your tricks and shenanigans have gotten old. We're done here. And look what they did. They should have beat the 49ers. I thought they were. That was going to make me feel a little bit better about them beating the Dallas Cowboys. If the Packers went on and beat the 49ers, I was about to be like Leonardo DiCaprio in that meme, pointing at the TV like, see, I told y'all. Look, they're pretty decent, huh? They have a brand similar to how, like, the Cowboys have the Yankees have a brand. Like, they have a global brand. They have a brand that just, like, has tradition. They do things a certain way. They have history. Yeah, I'm trying to go out there one day. Back to the Yankees thoughts, you know. With the New York Yankees and football coming up, man, the Yankees got to go ahead and they got to get fat on these teams and they got to get right. You know, I'm not so sure what the Mets are going to be or what the Mets are going to do, but I was listening to WFAN and I had a thought about, somebody said something like, oh, well, the Mets got us to football season. Like, as a thought about, like, oh, yeah, well, it was entertaining to get us to football, like, just to get us through the stretch here until football starts. Like, the Yankees are playing well into the football season, I hope. And they got to get fat on these teams because I'm ready to see them create some type of space. I think it's so vital for this team to win the AL East, have that number one seed. You got to get Judge. You got to get Judge to the Fall Classic. Let's go out to L.I., out on Long Island. It's Harvey on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how are you doing?
I'm good, you know. Haven't done a Friday in a while. I don't mind it, though.
I hear you. I like the Bluey reference that with Daniel Jones. Tell me you got young kids without telling me you got young kids.
Bluey.
Have me cracking up. But with the Yankees, I think Clay Holmes has to take Volpe and Glaber out to dinner because they're killing me dropping these late inning balls.
You just can't.
I don't understand it.
It's just ridiculous because, like, if you do that and it comes back to bite us in the postseason, like, we're gonna be ripping our hair out. It's routine.
I love
Major League Baseball. Like, come on, yo. I know it happens, but
I know, and these are regular season games.
Yeah, they got to clean it up. They got to be better than that.
Yeah, and I do love the rhythm that Judge is in. Anything that's in his zone, he's smashing. So
it's incredible. I just laugh.
I can't be any happier.
His last two home runs made me laugh. Literally, like, he's running the bases. I'm like, this guy's nuts. He will send anything. Why would you pitch to him?
You think he's got a chance with the? I know. Oh, I hope they keep doing it. I don't want to miss out. I don't agree with the intentional walk thing that
I don't agree with the intentional walk, but I'm not throwing anything really in the zone. But if you even get close, this guy is he's putting it where it's out of play, like up and in, goodbye, you know, down, goodbye. He's just, you know, he's a different type of human being. I don't know if he's human actually.
Yeah. It's exciting to watch. Probably one of the most exciting Yankees I've ever seen. So
yes.
All right, Keith, you have a good night. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, Harvey. 888-808-1019. I can take another call before we break here. I know I came right back from the update or whatever. I'm just trying to get in a lot of different things, a lot of different thoughts. Fanatics Fest, NFL. I'm ready for the NFL season. What I realized too, as much as, like, I love baseball, people don't love baseball like that. I mean, they do. There's a lot of people listening that do. But, like, generally, there are more NFL fans. It just is what it is. And I don't mean any disrespect to baseball. I love baseball. I love what, you know, baseball is in so many different layers and ways. And it's a great sport. You know, like I was saying, you know, last night, like, if you don't understand baseball, then, like, you really can't, you know, like, understand some of these things that we talk about on The Fan or get a laugh at or, like, break down or whatever. And, like, you know, you're on the outside looking in. But with the NFL, I feel like there are men, women, and children that are diehard NFL fans. Let's take another call before we go to break. Kevin in Red Bank, you got it.
Hey, Keith, thanks for having me on.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
All right, so you asked the question, why does everyone take shots at Daniel Jones? I think I have something of an answer.
He was drafted too high. He's paid too much. He went to Duke. He came in to be the next Eli. He'll never be Eli. I don't know.
Yeah, I think all those are part of the answer for sure. But I think other teams watch tapes, man. And I know he didn't have an offensive line or any weapons. But do you remember after that 49ers game where the defense in the media said,
yes,
we know this guy isn't going to throw. They're like, this guy stinks. Just take away the underneath.
I read some of the quotes on air. I was like, damn, this is wildly disrespectful.
Have you ever seen that? I'm 41 years old. I've never seen that.
No, you don't do that because, like, you're going to, like, you just don't do that. You got to respect your opponents. You don't talk down. Like, it could come back and bite you. They have no fear of Daniel Jones, which is crazy.
So just wanted to pop on and give you that little tidbit, just a little remembrance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember.
The rest of the league thinks.
I remember.
Not just media, players, too.
Yeah, players, thanks for the call, Kevin. Players in the NFL were mad about Daniel Jones' contract. Like, players in the NFL saw him get the money that he got, and that gave them motivation to play against him and shut him down. But, like, he got a kind of, like, market rate quarterback contract. But people felt like he didn't deserve it. They're like, this guy's not like that. This guy's not that good. It's crazy. You know, there are guys that are never – there are guys that are a lot better football players on defense, whether they are DBs, linebackers. They're not going to get close to the type of money that Daniel Jones got. So when they get on the field – your contract don't come with you on the field. That's mano y mano in between those lines. You got to prove it. Your contract can't do anything for you. 888-808-1019. 101.9. Now we got some Yankee calls. Now we got some football calls. We'll talk Yanks. We'll talk Mets. We'll talk NFL, Jets, Giants, all of that. But I got to take another break, man. I wish I could just podcast this thing or live stream this thing, but the radio is not built like that. We got to pay the bills. There's like ads and things built into this. Keep McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Queens, get the money. Right back at it on the Fan in New York. KM to 2 a.m. Time is burning on me. But I'm going to talk about some more stuff with the New York Mets. I just saw my guy Jake Brown Radio posting people literally dancing in the streets as the 7-line train was coming in and out of there. And there was a live drummer and people just enjoying their summer. Bars. I didn't even flow nothing tonight. I was supposed to try and flow on one of the beats while it was Friday. We'll see. We'll see. But anyway, after the embarrassment and the mocking and the laughing and the trolling, it was just one day, one game, one series, whatever. You turn the page, you come out, you win tonight. And now I can report that the Anaheim Angels, one of those teams that I told you, similar to the Rockies, who the Mets faced and the Yankees faced, they are playing spoiler. They are not laying down. They are playing spoiler. They just beat the Braves tonight. So hold on, folks. With that win, the Mets are now one game behind the Atlanta Braves in the wild card race. It ain't over. It ain't over. 888-808-1019. You've got Max Meyer on the mound for the Mets against Luis Severino at 410. So don't party in the streets of Flushing for too long. You got to turn around and come right back there at 410. It's not a night game. It's one of those into-the-night games. Severino needs to have his best outing in a while. You win that game, you win the series. And then you look to sweep at 12:05 Sunday with Paul Blackburn to have a bounce back in his second start at Citi Field. 888-808-1019 if you'd like to talk on the Fan. Ryan is in Howe. What's up, Ryan? You got it.
Oh, snap. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm just eating a little piece of this deer. Sorry, pal.
A quesadilla. Okay, cool. What you got for us?
Little quesadilla from Taco Bell. All right, so a couple things real quick, all right? First of all, while I was on hold, I listened to you stand up to your cowboy fandom, and I got to say, very impressive.
I mean, I just tell the truth, but yeah, it is what it is. Thanks.
Also, so I've heard a lot lately about this whole Hawk Tua girl.
Who?
For the Mets, right?
She played for the Mets? Who?
No, you come on. The Hawk Tua girl. The girl that threw the first pitch.
Oh, Haley Welch. Right. Yeah. Copy.
Yes, Haley Welch. I'm sorry. Yes. So, I heard a lot from all the afternoon hosts, and they were saying how gimmicky it was. And I got to ask, do you think that we're part of the problem? I mean, we fell in love with Grimace. We fell in love with OMG. We fell in love with all the gimmicks. So, your opinion?
I think that when you say we're, you mean the fans?
Yes.
Of course, because it's twofold, especially in sport where it's competition and you're playing against other teams. While you're celebrating a rally pimp, while you're celebrating a hot dog eating dog called Glizzy Izzy, while you're you know, well, you're having a theme song that's playing and you're selling $50 OMG signs in Citi Field, people can't wait to use things like that against you. Because none of that has to do with anything on the field. That stuff can be quickly turned against you. And the Mets kind of signed themselves up for the whole Hawk Tua girl thing and whatever. And I did see today that, you know, the whole reason she was there was to promote, I guess, the cause that she brings awareness to, which was connecting veterans to homeless dogs. But nobody cares about that after the fact. You know, they're just going to lean into the joke and lean into the, all of them. Oh, well, of course they had Hawk to a girl and then they blew the game, you know?
Very good. I appreciate your feedback.
Enjoy that quesadilla, Ryan. 888-808-1019. It's over. Jared Leto and his mom threw out the first pitch, and they erased all of that, and you're on to the next person that's going to throw out the first pitch. I have a guy joining me on Monday that's going to be throwing out a first pitch. Stay tuned for the next 5 hour KM to AM for that. Chris is in Syracuse. I hope Chris doesn't also share the pain that I feel, you know, being a stupid Dallas Cowboys fan all these years.
Hey, Keith, hey. Thanks for taking my call. It's second time.
No problem.
Being a Raiders fan, it's tough.
Oof.
A lot of pain over the years.
Oof. Shout out to Uncle Jay. My Uncle Jay is a Raiders fan, and it's a lot of drinking involved. It's a lot of drinking.
Well, I am 100% Irish. I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
You're a Mick. You're 100% Irish. Yeah. You drink on Sundays to get through the pain.
You know, and when my brother is 58, I'm 51, so as a small child, he brainwashed me into becoming a Raiders fan. And I'm cool with that. But I'm cool with that, you know.
Okay.
We saw some good things when I was a kid, you know. Marcus Allen.
Awesome.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's a tough kind of place there at your end, so I feel your pain. I don't know. You ever play Madden football in the past?
Of course. I used to all the time. I can't wait for my son to get into video games because that's when I'm going to get back.
Yeah. Yep. I used to love to play the classic Raiders teams. You could at one point on the past Madden games. Earlier tonight, I was playing against my oldest son, 32. I'm 51. We're playing new college football game, which is amazing.
Yeah.
New game engine.
Yeah. I'm so glad that they brought NCAA back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Yankees won tonight. I'm just like, ugh. I'm thrilled with that. I think the Yankees are going to make it to the World Series. And I don't know any further than that. What's your thought?
Yeah, I think they can make it. I think that if they make it and lose, it's still going to be, you know, it's still going to be a good ride, a fun ride. If they make it and win, we're going to flip the city upside down.
Right.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Sorry, bro. I didn't know if there was a little bit of airspace in there. I got a full rack of calls. I know not too many guys be having full rack of calls when you get to almost 1 o'clock in the morning. I appreciate y'all. Let's keep it rolling. Let's go to Queens and talk to Kenny on the Fan. Hello, Kenny.
What's up, brother? How are you?
Good, man. I just was having the thought, like, if they do make it to the World Series, the New York Yankees I'm talking about, right? Like, Juan Soto, if they lose the World Series, he's got unfinished business. He's got to come back.
No, I don't want to move on from him, but if, you know, he's getting $500-600 million. So if Steinbrenner decides that's not...
I don't know if he's getting over $600 million. I was having this conversation with my guy Dave today. David, shout out to David Rifkin. We were having a good conversation today for a while. Like, I don't know if it's... He's 25 going on 26. $600 million. How much is the AAV? How many million per year?
I mean, teams are going to probably throw 10 years, $60 million.
$50 million?
10 years, $60 million. It'll be $600 million.
10 years? But where are we getting $60 million? What other?
I don't agree with you. I'm saying I think that's what it's going to be, in between 500 to 600.
It's going to be between 500 and 600. I don't think it'll be anywhere north of 600. Unless we get into a pissing match between Steve Cohen and Hal Steinbrenner, which I don't think those two gentlemen will do. I think they have too much respect for each other, sharing the same city. I think they have a relationship where they're not going to go back and forth and back and forth. They may go back and forth once, but I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's a bidding war, going once, going twice. You know, I think it's going to be somewhere around 550. I just don't see him getting, like, you know, we were talking about like 515 for 13 years. Because at the end of the day, he's a right fielder in Major League Baseball. At the end of the day, he's not Shohei Ohtani. At the end of the day, we can't think that his annual average value is going to be $60 million a year when Judge got $40 million a year 2 years ago.
No, I agree. That's why I always, you know, talk to my friends about the Yankees. So I think a backup plan would be Alonso, Bregman, and Fry. They would equal this, like, the projected contract.
So Juan Soto signs with the Montreal Expos. Cool. Who's your backup plan if the Yankees want to put $500 million elsewhere? Which they won't.
Alonso.
Pete Alonso. Okay.
Bregman.
Alex Bregman.
And Fried. From Atlanta.
Max Fried. Okay, so first base, Pete Alonso. Third base, Alex Bregman. And then Max Fried into the rotation. I'm not sure. Quickly. I don't see Pete Alonso ever being a Yankee. Fried has an injury history that scares me, and I wouldn't want them to pay him just because they already are paying Carlos Rodon, and they got to be careful. They got to bring in another injury prone pitcher and try and pay him. I think they'll look at other cost effective options. Bregman maybe. But I don't think they're looking to Bregman. Maybe if there's no Soto, they'll have the money to do that. But I think they're looking to get younger. I think if they don't land Soto, they are going to look to be under that luxury tax, lower salary completely. I would like to see them spend the money on the pitching. I wouldn't mind seeing Cabrera, Peraza over there at third. Bregman at 30, going on 31, paying him what, for 4 or 5 years? 6 years max.
No, for sure. I just like his game, and he's already clean shaven, so we're good with that one.
Hey, that's a plus. He doesn't have to shave his beard. He's postseason proven. That's what I like about him. I've seen that guy with that swing just knock the ball into left field. I've seen him just, you know, consistently ball out in the postseason. So I'm not against it, but I just don't want to go down the road of thinking that Juan Soto is not a Yankee. Thanks for the call, Kenny. John Heyman was talking about it today, and John Heyman was leaning into this conversation. And you know what? I got to give David credit for this. My guy David, he's a season ticket holder with the Yankees. He's got his name on one of the seats. He's like that. You know, he used to help me out before I really had the hookup. You know, send me tickets, send me parking. And we just can talk about the Yankees all the time. And I also just respect how he's turned his son into a wild Yankee fan. I'm like, man, I hope I can turn my son into a Yankee fan like that. But we're having a conversation about Soto, and it came up that Soto would be the first Dominican-born player potentially to get his jersey retired and go into Monument Park. Dominicano. I'm like, yo, hold on, bro. I'm like, how did I not think of this? Soto's going nowhere because he's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. Soto stays with the Yankees. to win the next World Series, which I don't know how many times I've told y'all, the next World Series the Yankees win is going to be the most valuable one, the most special one, because we're all going to have it in 4K in our phones. We're all going to go live. We're all going to have TikToks and Reels. We're all going to have everything documented in crystal clear iPhone videos to be held forever to tell your unborn kids about. Yeah, no, I'm not joking you. Look at this video of Billy's the night before Game 6. Juan Soto stays with the Yankees to become the first Dominican-born player put in a Monument Park. 888-808-1019. I'm like, certainly. And we're going through the numbers, and I'm like, all right. In this modern-day climate of baseball where we saw that Ohtani contract, I still got to go back and look it up and see what they did with the deferred money and how much he's actually making and actually, like, what's actually counting against the luxury tax. And they got crafty with that. But again, Ohtani is a ace and a power hitter. He's a freak. He's a unicorn. He's not real life. Right now, he's half man, half amazing. He'll be fully amazing next year, and they got to pay him as such. He's going to do both. He's going to be in the rotation, and he's going to be in the lineup for the Dodgers. Juan Soto's not going to pitch. Juan Soto, as great as he is, the Centurion, as Scott Boras calls him, he's still a right fielder. He's still an outfielder. He's going to get a little bit more maybe this year than, like, who was the top signed outfielder last year? I don't know. I think I got to go back and look. Like 2024 MLB free agents. But, like, Juan Soto's not, I don't think he's getting $60 million a year. And if so, there's going to be some deferred money. Dominicano. Click that. Now you got to play that song. You know that song, right? I clearly spent too much time in the Bronx. De lo mio personal. Nah, straight up, though, before I had the locks, even actually with the locks, because some of the Dominicans had the locks, before I had the locks, some of the homies were like, yo, you could pass for Dominican, bro. You could be like, you know, a Negro, you know. But you could pass for Dominican. I could see Juan Soto and the Yankees selling him on, like, how much this would mean in DR, Dominicano, for you to be the first Dominican-born player enshrined in Monument Park in the Bronx. Stop playing. That's it right there. You heard? Like, that's it right there. That's the selling point right there. Obviously, Hal Steinbrenner and them have the money. Obviously. Bro, there's 45,000 people at every Yankee game. And, like, every time I go into that store, they're running out of stuff. I'm wearing a hat right now I bought in the store. And some people from the Yankees actually told me, hey, stop mentioning the store because the store gets cuts from. They're like, we don't get all the money for the store. New Era's getting a cut of this. But I'm still like, I see people sitting in Yankee Stadium Uber Eatsing food the whole game to their seat. I know how much those tickets cost. I know how much all that stuff in there costs because I've been to 200 games in my life. They have the money. It's not like Juan Soto's going to break the bank. I was listening to C-Mac break it down the other day talking about all the money coming off the books for the Yankees. And he was like, if you just take Rizzo's money and Gleyber Torres' money, Verdugo, just right there. That clears the money for what one Juan Soto's going to make a year. Oh, wait. Juan Soto's already making $31 million this year. So what's he going to stand to make? 51? He's not going to make $60 million a year. He's 26 about to be. Maybe he signs a 13-year contract to play till he's 39. More on that sometime in December. 888-808-1019. Ken out on Long Island. What's up, Ken? You're on the Fan.
Keith, good morning, good evening, whatever you want to call it. How are you?
Yeah, you know, happy Friday into Saturday. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
All right, I called about a different topic, but disagree with you on Soto. Think he is not coming back to the Yankees. You named three players that his salary alone will eat up. That's three positions. Don't think that's sustainable. and that's been said by Cashman multiple times.
So three players that I mentioned that play first base, second base, and left field. What do you mean? Like, they already have the backup plans for those guys.
Oh, all right. What are they?
You've seen Ben Rice. You also seen DJ LeMahieu. Those guys are playing right now. Rizzo's gone. Hey, Rizzo might not even show back up. Now you're seeing Peraza, Cabrera. They both can play second base when Gleyber Torres goes wherever he goes. He's definitely going to go anywhere. Left field is going to be either Jason Dominguez, Spencer Jones, probably Jason Dominguez.
Unproven, but possible, possibly, yes. Only way I mean, this is just opinion based. I only see the Yankees doing it on an Ohtani-based or kind of deal. And also, big selling point, what you were talking about before, Yankees, Monument Park, the whole deal, but will have to be a Ohtani kind of deal where a lot of it's on the back end. And he may take that, but big but, I don't know if his agent's going to let him take that. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know either. That's why I said more on it in December. But, you know, for people thinking that the Yankees get priced out, there's never going to be a player that the Yankees are priced out on. For people thinking that, you know, the Yankees are going to get outbid, I don't think that Steve Cohen is going to be trying to just price his right this thing and just say, you know, $551
million. No, I mean, I agree with you on that. The only way it's going to be, all right, here's your money, you want it now, there it is. That's it.
I honestly think they're already talking. I mean, how could they not be? Scott Boras is in the building. His player is a New York Yankee. You think there haven't already been a couple coffees, lunches, meetings? I think they're already figuring some things.
And Cashman hinted on that when he did his interview. I forget with who on the Fan, but he did an interview, the midday show.
With BT and Sal.
Or with BT and Sal, I'm sorry, yeah. Yes. And yeah, they asked right. Very good questions. And they and he said it. He was like, listen, we talk every day. So, yes, there has to be negotiations. Whether it's cheek and tongue, doesn't matter. They're talking.
Yeah, because, you know, they both sides have said, the door is open. But we know he's hitting free agency regardless. There will be no contract correct. Before that.
Correct. So, again, just opinion-based, I'm a Mets fan, clearly, so that's the only reason why.
Yeah, keep hope alive that the Yankees crash and burn and the Mets thrive and he sees something over there. Because I said that when the Yankees got swept in the Subway Series, I'm like, he's been on the losing end of this. It looks pretty fun over there. If you're going to have more fun over there, win and get more money, then.
Truthfully, I mean, I'm saying as a Mets fan, I'd love to see Soto as a Met for the better of both franchises. So it becomes a Met. Yankees keep their young guys. The young guys actually step up and become what they are. Yankees save that Soto money and can dispense it throughout the rest of the team. Mets get Soto and, you know, luck of the draw.
Yep, and then spend their money Soto's going to start games for the Mets. Soto's going to come out of the bullpen for the Mets.
What I want is both, long story, both teams actually, we meet again in the Subway Series. Glory of the story, whatever.
We did that when I was in the fifth grade. I'm good on that.
Main point of the call was to talk about Dak. What I'm in a 14-man fantasy league. Where would you project him this year? He's 30 games regular season compared to Patrick Mahomes. He's right there alongside him. Big games, he's not there. But right now, all I care about is fantasy and the money, which is coming up.
If they have CD and they got to get him in camp because it's so stupid to not have him taking reps, and I understand he plays receiver, right, as long as – but it's just, there's still timing when you're throwing the ball. Dak is a father this year. He's a dad now. He's coming home to not his wife but his baby mama, and I think that's going to help him. He also has proven it. He had his best season last year, and he knows – no matter what, if he goes out there and balls this year, he's going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks, whether it's with the Dallas Cowboys or it could be with the Raiders. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, somebody's going to pay him. Like, Kirk Cousins just got paid again. So Dak is playing free, and the clips that I'm seeing out of camp, I marvel at just, like, how much his technique changed from him coming out of Mississippi State to the way he drops back and throws the ball now. It's about CD, and it's also about the Cowboys' run game. Unfortunately, these dum-dums, they could have drafted Braylon Allen, but they traded a fourth-round pick for Trey Lance. They brought back Ezekiel Elliott. just so they could sell number 15 jerseys with Elliott on the back. They signed Royce Freeman, and they're going to rely on Rico Dowdle. They have no run game. They have no threat of the run game. So take Dak in fantasy because he's going to throw the ball 50 times a game.
That's what I was thinking too. Honestly, the run game though, I think they're doing a whole reset on the entire running back industry. Like they do not want to pay running backs. They're in a 5-year. All right, draft a rookie, draft a backup. They got 5 years. Refresh.
Oh yeah, you're not going to ever see another running back taken. Like Bijan was taken 7th. I don't think we see a running back taken in the top 10 ever again. Thanks for the call, Ken. 888-808-1019. I've got 1 hour left. I've got to get to this break quickly. I'm running. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.